so hard to convince a mom that she needs to do these things. I don't know why, but I don't know if we've become sort of deadened to the advice. We're like, okay, if we don't believe it will maybe really move the needle or what, or we're worried about being selfish. I'm not sure, but I do think that we have to be convinced. I actually have a whole chapter basically on outlining reasons why this is important. And I think one of the most important is what you're saying, which is that we end up self-sacrificing for our relationships, the relationships that are most important to us, that matter the most to us, the people that we love the most. But when we sacrifice so much, when we lose ourselves, we end up getting resentful and bitter and overwhelmed, and we snap at them and we're grumpy and we're not even the person that we want to be. So we're showing up in our most important relationships as our worst selves. And then we're like not even really caring for those relationships properly because we're so depleted and weary. And so it's so important that we get more comfortable with checking in on these things, making these adjustments, allowing ourselves to have needs, and pouring into ourselves.
Hello and welcome to the Minimalist Moms Podcast. Motherhood burnout. Okay, we've discussed it before, but if I'm being honest, discussions like this tend to just add to the overwhelm and pile more on an incredibly full plate. However, this episode had the opposite effect on me. My guest, psychotherapist and renowned relationship expert, Dr. Morgan Cutlip, brings an entirely new perspective to the mom burnout conversation. Morgan joined me to share her wisdom and insights from her debut book, Love Your Kids Without Losing Yourself. And in this episode, we delve into her proven step-by-step plan designed for moms of all ages. Topics such as confidently expressing your needs, crafting a self-care plan that goes far beyond the stereotypical ideas, knowing yourself well enough to know how to ask for help, and so much more. I thoroughly enjoyed talking to Morgan. And like I said in the intro, sometimes I just feel like, I know we're all burnt out. We need to slow down. We need rest. We need to stop. But it's the implementation element that we're missing in a lot of these conversations. I do think that Morgan clearly communicates this with practical advice. I'll be making a post for this episode on Instagram, so leave a comment, let me know how you enjoyed this, share it with friends if it was helpful to you, and let's get into it.
Well, Morgan, I'm so excited to talk to you today. Thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So we were just chatting about how we have this Ohio connection, so that was pretty exciting to find out that you were from Medina, mm-hmm. Ohio, but now in California.
Yes. Yeah, and like multiple states in between. So Virginia, D.C., Florida for a hot second, then to California.
What's your favorite state?
Don't do that to me. I love being from Ohio. I have a lot of pride being from Ohio. I feel like it was a really wholesome place to grow up. We had a pond on our property. Uh-huh. Like our kids just have no clue what that would be like. I like the hardiness that I've developed from being from Ohio, but California's it's pretty mm-hmm. good weather. So I'm happy here.
Yeah, it's beautiful out in California.
It really is. Yeah.
Ohio's not my favorite state. My favorite state's Alaska.
Really? I've never been.
You should go. I think it should be on everyone's bucket list, and we did it fairly inexpensively. Seward, Alaska. I think that if I didn't have so many family members in Columbus, I would be moving there.
You would move. No way. My husband just went and he's like, that is not a state for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We like cold weather.
Yeah. I don't mind it. It's funny. So I always describe myself as I'm sporty, but I'm not outdoorsy. Feel like there's a difference there. And I think Alaska may require more outdoorsiness than I possess. What do you think?
I feel like I'm neither. I feel like I'm a mixture of both. I'm probably more outdoorsy than I am sporty, despite being 6 feet tall.
Oh my gosh, you're 6 feet?
5'11", but yeah, I feel like it's six. I just say 6 feet. But anyways, so we're getting off topic. I want to talk about your book that you have coming out. It's called Love Your Kids Without Losing Yourself. And when I saw that title, to me, I'm like, absolutely, yes, that's what I want to do. I want to love my kids, but I also want to have the identity of wife, creator, friend, daughter. I have all these identities. I don't want to lose that within being a good parent. And sometimes I feel like that's a really hard balance to find. So what made you decide to write about this topic?
Ooh, so I've been in the field of relationship education for over 15 years. At my doctorate in psychology, my master's in human development and family science, and I worked alongside my dad for a number of years, like 12 of those years. And he has the same degree, and he went back to school when I was really, really young. And so I kind of grew up going to his classes with him. Eventually he had a practice where he saw clients, and then he started creating courses. And it was like making courses before everybody and their cousin had a course. And I would go with him while he taught his courses, and eventually got to a place where I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this someday, I need my own credentials. So I sort of grew up just with a passion and a love for taking psychological theory and research and translating it into practical tools. So when I was maybe a sophomore in college, I was riding in the car with him. I vividly remember this conversation, and I said, someday I want to do something to help women. Like, you got your thing, Dad. I want to have my thing. And I don't know what it means yet, but that's what I want to do. Fast forward many, many years, and our daughter Effie was born. She's actually 10 now, which is crazy. And I went into motherhood feeling and thinking that I would be like exceptional at it. I thought I would absolutely crush it. I had no doubt in my mind I was going to be a really good mom. I always wanted to be a mom. I had the makings of a good mom. And I was smacked upside the head with how intense I felt that loss of freedom, the overwhelm of all the new responsibilities, the feeling of I'm just always getting it wrong, always falling short. I don't know what I'm doing. I thought I would, and I felt totally buried in it. And it was at that time in my life that I recognized, okay, this is what I want to do. I do not have the answers, but I have the skill sets to figure this out. And when I come out of that like fog, I think, that exists for so many of us early on in motherhood, I want to help moms navigate this time from, and all of motherhood, the whole trajectory of motherhood, from a more empowered stance.
Absolutely. I was wondering if it came from feeling like at one point you had lost yourself. That was one of my questions for you.
I think we lose ourselves over and over again in motherhood. And I think that that's something in the very beginning of the book, like the very first pages of the book, I try to really normalize that experience. Because, you know, we get these cliches in motherhood of, you know, put your oxygen mask on first and all that. And I just don't think that that's actually that helpful. I don't think as moms we need to go first. I think we need a turn. And so when we recognize we just need a turn, we can also recognize that sometimes we're going to be all about our kids, because there are seasons where our kids do need to come first. We do need to lose ourselves in our care for them, or maybe our partner or our work or all of these different competing demands for our attention and our energy. But we just need to be careful of not getting totally swallowed up in it, that we don't come out of the place of being lost. So I think becoming lost is normal, but we need to know how to recalibrate and how to get back in the know with ourselves.
So I want to use the word self-care. Sometimes that word gets a bad rap, but what do you actually do for self-care? I know that that's a priority of your life now, especially after writing this book and going through this process. The writing process is a challenge in itself. I feel like we all lose ourselves when we write something, but now coming out on the other side, getting this book baby almost launched, having your own kids, what does self-care actually look like for you?
Yeah, I know I have a lot of beef with self-care, so I can go on that tangent. But for me, self-care is something that I feel like we have to expand the definition of. I think it needs rebranded. And that's what really I try to do in my book, but I also try to avoid the word self-care, because I feel like as moms, we're told to do self-care so much that we're like, okay, yeah, whatever. And we don't really hear how important it is, and it's lost its power and its punch. So I believe self-care is really about managing our relationship with ourselves. We have a relationship with our kids, with our partner, with our coworkers, with our work, but we often don't even consider the fact that we have a relationship with ourselves. And so that's what I teach moms how to do in the book. I teach them, what is the relationship? What are you managing? And how do you do it? So that's what I do for my self-care. I do these regular self-check-ins where I just tune into me. I scan through the areas that I outline in the book and I make small adjustments. So sometimes it's doing something for my physical body. Sometimes it's checking in with my energy and making sure, you know, I've carved out enough time. Sometimes it's stepping away from the pile of dirty dishes and just lounging on the couch with my kids. It's so many different things, but part of it requires knowing myself really deeply, which I feel like I do. This book launch process has been the most draining for me personally. And I've sort of approached it with the mentality of I will burn out. Like I'm going to. I'm an introvert. This is a lot. It's a lot of asking and selling and discussing. And so I'm planning for that. I have prepared my expectations for that. And I think that's part of self-care. I'm not expecting to come out of this shiny and great. I'm expecting I'm going to need to really prepare myself to really recharge and rest in a big way after this, because this is going to be a big one for me.
This April, Blue Land is redefining what clean really means with their biggest brand campaign yet. Because when you're caring for more than just yourself, you need a higher standard. Blue Land was founded by a mom who wanted products safe enough for her kids and clean enough for the planet. No plastic, no forever chemicals, and only certified clean ingredients. As a dog mom, I know that mom clean matters. Our dogs are constantly licking the floors, and I'm not exactly sure what germs they're bringing in from the outside, but I know that Blue Land will get the job done. And that said, I need to trust what I'm cleaning with is safe, and with Blue Land, I can. I've been using their products for a couple of months now, and I've been raving about these products to my friends. I absolutely love the mirror and window cleaner. No streaks compared to similar products that are on the market. I love their toilet bowl cleaner. All of Blue Land's products, from sprays to hand soap, are certified by EPA Safer Choice, EWG verified in Leaping Bunny. They're effective, 100% plastic-free, and trusted in over a million homes, including mine. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clear. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/clear for 15% off. That's blueland.com/clear to get 15% off. Hot sleepers, listen up. This one is for you. We sleep better when we sleep cool, and as the temperatures start to rise, staying cool at night becomes a must. That's why I made the switch to Avocado's organic bedding, and let me tell you, it's a total game changer for my sleep. Avocado's breathable cotton sheets and airy duvets keep me cool, dry, and comfy all night long. We live in a house from the 1800s, and heat rises, so our room can get pretty stuffy at night. But this has been a great way to keep me cool, dry, and comfy all night long. No more tossing and turning in sweaty bed sheets. Plus, they're sustainably made with certified organic materials, so they're better for you and the planet. Swapping out my old synthetic bedding for Avocado's natural alternatives has not only improved our sleep, but it feels good knowing that we're investing in something that lasts. So as you're packing away your winter layers, give your bed a fresh start too. Avocado's bedding raises the bar for sustainability because better sleep starts with better materials. Head to avocadomattress.com today to save 10% on all bedding and 50% off on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. Did you know that over 1,000 hormone disruptors surround us every day in our food, our water, air, clothes, and even skincare products? All of these can mess with our hormones, causing everything from PMS symptoms and menopause discomfort to low moods, poor sleep, and even a lack of energy. But you don't have to suffer through these symptoms. Meet Hormone Harmony, a natural science-backed formula crafted with adaptogens, herbs known to help your body adapt to stress, including those wild hormone changes. I've been taking Hormone Harmony for a few months now, and I've definitely noticed a difference when it comes to my overall mood and general well-being. Hormone Harmony helps ease PMS, reduces menopause symptoms like hot flashes, and improves sleep, energy, and mood. So why keep struggling? For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MINIMALIST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code MINIMALIST for 15% off today. Are you looking for a delicious way to eat healthier without sacrificing flavor? Let me let you in on one of my favorite freezer aisle secrets, from American Red Raspberries from Washington State. I love tossing them into my morning smoothie, swirling them into Greek yogurt, or sprinkling them over oatmeal. They're juicy, tangy, and taste like they were just picked because they actually were. These berries are grown in rich Washington soil and frozen within hours of harvest to lock in their flavor and nutrients. And here's the best part. They're naturally low in sugar, high in fiber, and packed with antioxidants and vitamin C. They support gut health, blood sugar balance, and overall wellness, all while tasting amazing. I always check the label to make sure I'm buying American grown. Look for product of the U.S. on the bag. Want to discover new ways to use American frozen red raspberries and get more details on where you can grab a bag of these delicious berries? Go to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations, and everything you need to make frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine.
I'm so glad you said that self-care has to do with actually knowing yourself and knowing what you need. I mean, I think that is hard to step back and get that perspective of what is it I actually need in that moment. And for some reason, I keep thinking of, they say how when you have a newborn, you sleep when the baby sleeps. And sure, that's all fine and good for when you have one, but what if you have two? What if you have three? I can't sleep when the baby sleeps because I have two other humans I'm watching after. So maybe self-care and knowing what I actually need in that moment. Yes, I need sleep. That's very true. But maybe I just need someone to come help me with my kids for a little bit. I need them to come help me with my laundry. I actually do just need to go to a coffee house and sit because I haven't been alone and I've been tending to everyone else. So I think you have to know that though. And you have to know the season you're in and have just an understanding of what it is you really need.
Yeah, maybe it'd be helpful. So there are five steps in my book and I'll walk through because it's like what you're saying is so great because it's touching on a couple of the steps. And that's what you find is if you work through them in the book. And as you move through the book, you start to see how it all integrates. So the first is know deeply. And the idea is if you don't know yourself really well, you can't really care for yourself in ways that actually move the needle. We're all different. I could write a book of lists of self-care strategies, but it's probably not going to necessarily work for you just because it works for me. And so we have to know ourselves really well. The second is trust accurately. And this is really about how we form our self-concept. As moms, we are so hard on ourselves. We tend to see ourselves often in the worst light. So this chapter is all about how do we adjust our self-concept to be actually accurate so we can see ourselves in a positive light. And that has a lot to do with mom guilt and things like that. The third step is rely boldly. And this is about our needs. And so I like that you were talking about that connection between knowing yourself and understanding your needs. And I think that one of the most common things that I hear from moms in my community is that they'll like get that moment alone and they won't know what to do with it because they are so out of touch with what they need. So I help moms figure that out. I also walk through different areas they can think about when trying to understand their needs. And you're like nailing them. It's like logistical, like I just need somebody to take the kids, the emotional needs, connection, things like that, relationship stuff, affirmational, do you need encouragement and support? Do you need purposeful? Do you have purposeful needs that are going unmet? Doing something that brings you meaning, spiritual stuff maybe, and then our physical needs. And so helping moms really get in touch with those becomes really, really important because I think a lot of us lose sight of that along the way. The last one's about commitment and prioritizing, how we prioritize our competing demands. And then the last one is our physical self. So to touch purposefully, which is the closest I get to self-care, but I cover some different things in that chapter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I hope this doesn't sound like a silly complaint of mine. I hope people aren't writing me off when I say this, but my husband was lovely. And last December, the day after Christmas, he was like, hey, you've had a really busy, hectic season. I want you to go out to this charming little town in Columbus called Granville. I want you to go stay two nights, get an Airbnb, just be quiet, rest, reflect. I will take the kids for 2 days. He did a great job. He gave me this time. So I was like, okay, I'm counting down the hours. It's 4 o'clock. I'm going to go. And I just started driving downtown Columbus. I got off in this place called the Short North. Where am I going to go? I was like, I probably shouldn't be drinking alone. That's probably not a good idea. So
then you probably should leave the Short North.
Yeah. So then I was like, I'm going to go to Easton. It's an outdoor mall. I'm going to go to Barnes & Noble. I'm going to buy myself a new journal. And then I saw how expensive journals were. So I was like, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go to North Star. I'm going to get some yummy food. So I did that. And then I head out to Granville. And the choices that I ended up making in this first night alone, they were small, quick choices, but it took me so long to make them and to get there because surprisingly what I didn't need in that 2 days, I realized this at the end of it, I didn't need time to reflect. I do that all the time. I'm constantly overanalyzing and thinking. I actually just really wanted to have fun and be with my friends, but this time is supposed to be used for this. But I actually needed fun.
Yes.
Because I don't really have fun that often.
No, but that's exactly what I'm saying, which is that so often when we do get that really amazing time, whether it's like 2 days, which is awesome that you got that, or it's like, you know, they're out of the house for the afternoon, we're like, we end up kind of squandering the time because we aren't really clear about what we need. And probably, like you said, you haven't had fun in so long that it took you a while to arrive to a place where you're like, oh my gosh, I actually just needed to be with my friends. And so if as moms, we are better at regularly checking in on these things, we won't find ourselves in this position quite as much because we'll regularly be checking in. What do I need? Oh gosh, I haven't seen my friends in months. Like, I just really want to have a night out. I want to get dressed up. I want to do something fun. And I think the thing is that sometimes we won't be able to do that stuff right away. Maybe it's not feasible to go out with your friends that moment, but at least when you define it, what you define what you need, it offers some relief that you're like, okay, I know what it is I need. I can set it up. I can have something to look forward to. You know, there is relief in defining the actual issue and the need in those moments.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. It's late as we're recording this, so the vocabulary has...
It's left for the day.
I guess I just don't want to sound bratty or like, she has a great life and she's complaining. Because I do get regular FaceTime with my friends and it's lovely, but I think the fun element... So there's this book called The Power of Fun, How to Feel Alive Again by Catherine Price. She asks you, what is fun to you? What does that mean? And... we went zip lining, my sister and I, and she was like, that was so fun. And I was like, oh, it was fine. I didn't have fun. So I'm just like, what is fun? And that's having to learn yourself again, because it's like, I've been all these things to all these people. What do I want to actually do?
Yes. Yeah. And I think like that's part of knowing yourself again is really, you know, as moms, I don't think we change into completely different people, but there are parts of us that might emerge that we didn't know were in us. And I think there are parts of us that kind of submerge or sort of lessen or go away. And we have to get to know ourselves again. And we have to regularly keep in touch with ourselves, because I think the momentum of life is so fast that it's really easy for us to fall out of touch with ourselves. I feel like it shows up all the time when somebody's like, hey, how are you doing? And you're like, good, I'm great. And they're like, no, really. And we have to go, I don't know. You know, it's because we're not even really in the know with ourselves in most of the time. And so reflecting on what we find fun is so important. I know for me, when I have the most fun, either being alone with my husband and doing something like a comedy club or doing something like, I love to laugh. I love comedians is one of my most favorite things. Or with our kids, I like taking them to Disney. I like doing the big magical moments. I'm sure most of us do, but it feels like to me in those moments, it's like, I am exactly the mom I want to be in those moments. And there's nothing else distracting me. And so it's important for us to know what those things are for us.
I don't think this is selfish either. I think that we as moms are called to be sacrificial, or it's like, this is a sacrificial season. And I understand that. I get that not everything's going to be fun, or it's not going to be about me. And I'm okay with that. I was comfortable with that. And that's why I chose to have children. But if we're missing this element, it makes you a worse parent when you're not getting these needs met. I've seen it in my own life. We all know this. It just needs to be like pounded into our heads so we actually apply the tips and tools that you're writing about and that we're speaking to and actually doing it.
Totally. I mean, I think that's one of the hardest thing. It's so hard to convince a mom that she needs to do these things. I don't know why, but I don't know if we've become sort of deadened to the advice. We're like, okay, if we don't believe it will maybe really move the needle or what, or we're worried about being selfish. I'm not sure, but I do think that, we have to be convinced. I actually have a whole chapter basically on outlining reasons why this is important. And I think one of the most important is what you're saying, which is that we end up self-sacrificing for our relationships, the relationships that are most important to us, that matter the most to us, the people that we love the most. But when we sacrifice so much, when we lose ourselves, we end up getting resentful and bitter and overwhelmed, and we snap at them and we're grumpy and we're not even the person that we want to be. So we're showing up in our most important relationships as our worst selves. And then we're like not even really caring for those relationships properly because we're so depleted and weary. And so it's so important that we get more comfortable with checking in on these things, making these adjustments, allowing ourselves to have needs, and pouring into ourselves.
Absolutely. So what would you say, I know it's silly, what's one thing that we can do to change our lives? That we can change our trajectory today, not tomorrow, today. But truly, how would you encourage that woman that does struggle to make the change, that's skeptical, that's like, this is a season, I'm just going to ride it out, and then we'll readdress some of these things at the end of it?
What would I tell her to do? Yeah, I think I'm not prescriptive. And so my book is a framework. And so I always struggle with these questions because it's like, I know you want that sexy answer that's like, do this one thing and you're off and riding into the sunset, a happier mom. But I do think there's more to it. So I'll give a couple practical things. I think number one, which is the overarching sort of theme of my book, is that you have to regularly tune into yourself. I call it, I talk about it as we have to learn how to mother ourselves like we mother our kids. We're already doing all of the good things toward them. We need to turn them toward us. The short version is go mom yourself. So even if you don't know what my book contents are, if you get in a practice of multiple times a day, or even just if you can fit in once a day, it takes like 10 seconds. Just sort of ask yourself how you're doing. I go more in depth in the book, but if you can start practicing that, you'll start to feel more in touch with yourself. You'll start to recognize your needs as they begin to creep up. Here's another thing. If you are one of those moms who's like, I don't even know what I need, I don't know where to begin, here is one simple hack to understand what you need. Think about what you complain about the most. Our complaints are windows into our unmet needs. This can help you start to define those and get really clear about what you need. Think about, you know, what you complain to your partner about, what you complain about. You know, we do that like muttering when we're upset or resentful to ourselves. What are you saying when you're doing your muttering? Because that's going to lend some insight into what you need. One more thing, I'm trying to give a couple practical things so people can walk away with stuff. But our expectations of ourselves as moms are a really powerful force in terms of us feeling like we're falling short in motherhood. When we don't understand what our expectations are, we are not then able to edit them in the ways that we might need to. And so we end up just kind of feeling crappy because we're not meeting them. And so one of the easiest ways to understand your expectations of yourself as a mom is to answer this question. The type of mom I thought I'd be is. We learn how to be a mom from a really young age, from our caregivers, from our society, from structures we exist in. It all lives inside of us. And then we become a mom and it all comes out in the form of these expectations we hold ourselves to. And we usually don't recognize them until we're like, oh, we feel like crap, or we feel like we're falling short, or we feel guilty. So use that prompt to unearth these expectations and then decide how to revise them or do something different with them.
No, that's all great advice. The only other thing I would add to that, and again, I'm not the psychotherapist here, but friendships have been so valuable to me. I mean, really throughout my life, but especially as a mom, especially in navigating three different personalities, having different friends in my life that have similar children. But having a friend answer that question truthfully to you, like ask someone, what do I complain about? What do you think that I need? If everything I've said to you, if you were to assess it, how would you change things? And that might be a vulnerable thing to do, but that's what our friends are for. So why not utilize that as a resource?
I think that's amazing advice, especially when you have a trusted friend who you know will be direct with you and who will just let you kind of vent. It can be such a nice way to check yourself, because a lot of times we hold ourselves to these really high expectations and then we're like, you know, well, I should be able to, I should do these, you know, I should do these things, I should live up to these things. But when we talk to a friend and we vocalize them and they're like, that's absolutely absurd. Why would you think that you can live up to that? It's such a nice sounding board. It's such a good reality check for us. So I think that's an awesome addition.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you saying so, being a therapist that you are. So, well, Morgan, you have given us plenty, and this is just a starting point for listeners. So where can they grab a copy of your book if they want to do so, and where can they connect with you online?
Yeah, so my book, it comes out September 19th. I'm not sure when this airs. So likely at that point, when this airs, you can buy anywhere you buy books. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, any indie bookstores. You can also find out more about me on my website, which is drmorgancutlip.com, or my Instagram, which is the same thing, drmorgancutlip.
Perfect. Well, if you've never listened to the show before, I do this with all my guests at the very end, and I ask them two questions. They're quick fire. Don't think too deeply about it. But the first one is, what has been a beneficial resource to you that you want to share with the listeners?
A beneficial resource to me has been, you know what? I really love this book, Come As You Are. Have you heard of that book?
I have it on the library hold list.
Okay. I highly recommend the audio. I'm a big audiobook person, but the reader is so excellent. Her name's Emily Nagowski. And I just think that motherhood, marriage, the mental load, which are all things that I just am obsessed with talking about, really relate to sexuality and our sex life. And she does such an amazing job of really laying all of that stuff out in a way that's like, oh my gosh, I have this whole new understanding of how I operate as a woman in my sex life. And I think that's such an important piece, that part of the conversation that needs to be had more. So that's a resource that I absolutely love.
Yeah, no, that's a great resource. Like I said, I have it on hold, but I haven't quite gotten there yet. So can't wait to read it. All right. Well, the last question is, what is something you can't stop talking about?
I mean, right now it's my book. I can't, I can't get away from talking about it. I think all these things I talk about, whether it's the mental load is something I'm really obsessed with talking about. I have so much to say on that. Anything in our relationships and just the motherhood stuff, it's so deeply meaningful to me. It's just something that is so just on my heart all the time that I absolutely love sharing about it and just feel really privileged to do so.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to hear more from you. We should definitely have you back as you get this book out there and launched. I'm sure I could pick your brain about so many things, but your new book, Love Your Kids Without Losing Yourself, and it's available on September 19th, which I believe this goes live.
Oh, that's great.
On your launch day. So happy.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy launch day, and thanks for sharing your book with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so great to meet you.
What did you think of the episode? I hope you enjoyed the conversation. To learn more about today's guest, including links, resources related to everything discussed today, visit the episode page at minimalistmomspodcast.com, where you can find the entire podcast archive, as well as my book, Minimalist Moms, Living and Parenting with Simplicity, or other ways to connect or work with me online. If you'd like to support the podcast, the easiest and most impactful thing you can do is subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave a rating or review of your favorite episode. Lastly, sharing the show or your favorite episode with friends on social media is very helpful and will encourage others on their journey to think more and do with less.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist, because we're all better with help. Visit betterhelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report, the latest in mental health research.